Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Welcome to the Xbox Game Passengers Podcast. I'm your host, Derek, and this is the show where each episode, myself and a guest will dissect and discuss a single game that's available on Microsoft's Game Pass service, which was chosen for us completely at random. Whether it's a magical or a horrible experience, we'll farce ourselves through it, share our thoughts, and let you know whether or not the game is worth your time. At the end of every episode, we'll also be drawing the game for the next adventure, so you'll always know what's coming up on the horizon. And it's always me and a guest, and this month, You've heard him super recently, but Shane O'Hare of the Geekscape Games podcast is back. How are you,
Hello.
Shane?
Hello. I'm back again. Tell a friend.
I think you said that last time too. You got to come up with some new material.
I've got one line. I've got one gimmick. That's all I can do.
You do the stained thing. If anyone says it's been a while,
is it too late now to say sorry? it's been a while. I'm the illustrious guest the Xbox Game Passengers.
Can I just stop? I'm just so concerned that I don't see any levels on my mic.
I see all the levels. I see levels. I see yours. I see mine.
Okay, I'll cut this out then. That's no problem.
Hey, let's just leave it. Let people see how the sausage is made. We're gonna keep going. It's gonna be great. insert Avicii's levels right here.
I was gonna say I don't understand that, but I do think I understand that reference. How's the Geekscape Games podcast treating you?
It's I don't know, you tell me. You're on it every other week, bi-weekly.
How's
Fortnite.
It treating you? I'm just asking. I mean
it's treating me great. I love it. I look forward to it even when I don't play. It's such a more fun experience doing it bi-weekly.
I agree.
I feel like we can curate the news a little bit better, and we have more time to play games. Like, there'll be, you know, just more opportunities. It's really good.
Yeah, it's sometimes a bit tough too in regards to, like, I'll try to put so much time into the games for this show, and then I don't want to talk about them at all on the other show, of course, until at least this is an episode for a couple of months down the road, so I'm not going to want to talk about this on the other show once this episode comes out, and it's that whole thing. But yeah, you know, it works.
It's tough because I'm completely impressed and blown away by your pre-planning, how far in advance you record this show. I was trying to guess the Zencaster link. And I was looking at the episodes you already have recorded, and I was like, "Damn! All right, we're
we're
ahead,
a couple ahead.
Yeah, we're a couple ahead.
Yeah.
So, I don't understand pre-planning, and it also sucks because I would love to talk about this game on the main show.
Sure.
Not main show, other show. All right, we're all on this together. We're all at the same convention. We're all on the same podcast network. It's great. So, but I'm ready to talk about this month's game.
Yeah, great. This month, if you didn't hear last month's episode where Michaela and I talked about the first game in the Dark Pictures anthology, which is called Man of Medan. That was a cool one because we played it together because it's a local multiplayer game. Very hard not to talk about our feelings of the game when we're playing it together side by side, but that's what we did. And then we shared our thoughts on that one. So you know, jump back a month to listen to that. Today, though, we're talking about Need for Speed. No subtitle. This is like a relaunch, refresh, not rebranding. It's the same brand. But it was like a reboot, if you will, of the Need for Speed franchise. And it came out. This is like the 2015 Need for Speed. So I don't know when did Need for Speed start? Like 92 or something like that?
Let's consult the Book of Knowledge, because it was like early 90s. Because it was originally Road and Track. Like Road and Track magazine. Yeah. Need for Speed first release date. Yeah, it was a Road and Track magazine sponsored game.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and then eventually it branched off from there. And I think I've got some questions for you about your what is your history with the Need for Speed franchise?
That's a great question. Before we jump into this one, I don't have a ton of history. I was big into Need for Speed Underground and Need for Speed Underground 2. Why today, I couldn't really tell you. I think it was just really popular and all my friends were playing it. And I liked the, like, I don't know, Fast and Furious, like, came out around the same time. And I just liked the, like, you know, illegal street racing and the customization aspect, even though I don't know a single thing about cars. And the cool, like, you could just, like, customize your cars a lot in there is what I remember. Mm-hmm. And you can make them look very cool. I played those two games. And then I played Need for Speed Rivals. And the only reason I played Need for Speed Rivals is because the PS4 launched with like two games, and it was like Killzone and Need for Speed Rivals. And so I bought both of them. And that one I thought was pretty fun, actually. I can't remember putting a ton of time into it, but I just remember that felt like a really cool, like, graphical showcase for the PlayStation 4 at the time. I just remember the leaves, how many leaves were floating in the wind and shit, and being really impressed by it.
My exposure to Need for Speed was I got a bunch of big box PC games for Christmas one year. Okay. And one of them was Need for Speed 3 Hot Pursuit. And that game was wild. No customization. You could pick a car based off the stats, but you could run from the cops. You'd have your normal race against everybody, but there'd be police on the track putting out spike strips, trying to knock you out of the race. I do apologize for my cat. He's being a little diva. So special guest for this episode of Game Passengers. But the thing that I loved about Hot Pursuit was you could be a cop and try to write tickets and take everyone out in the race.
Yeah.
And then eventually when the GameCube came out, there was Need for Speed Hot Pursuit 2, which expanded from there. But
is Hot Pursuit the one that recently was remastered?
That is a good question. I have no idea.
Okay.
I have no idea. I know that there was Need for Speed 3 Hot Pursuit, and then there was Need for Speed Hot Pursuit 2. So there was their naming convention for this series is garbage. It looks like they
came out February of this year, so just a few months ago.
And they looks like they also redid it in 2010. Huh. Man, okay, their naming convention is just garbage. 2021. Anyway, Need for Speed Underground Need for Speed Underground and Underground 2, I put so much time into that.
And I don't really remember, like, I wasn't really into racing games at the time. I like, in that era, the PS2 era of racing games, all I really remember playing were those two games and this weird Capcom racer with crazy physics, but it was cool and cel shaded, called Automodelista. And I loved the shit out of Automodelista.
That was a doozy. That was a doozy of a game.
But I don't remember playing other racing games. Like, I wasn't into Gran Turismo at the time. I remember playing like Gran Turismo 2 on like the PS1, but I don't remember playing other racing games aside from being super into Need for Speed Underground.
And it was, I was never really into the Fast and Furious movies myself. I think I've only seen the first one and maybe a little bit of Tokyo Drift. But Need for Speed Underground was, I just sunk so much time into that, like doing the drag racing, doing the drift racing, and then the regular stuff, getting the best car, going into the soundtrack, putting on Static X, which is still one of my all-time favorite bands. Rest in peace, Wayne. But playing like This Is the Only and The Only and the End. It's just, dude, everything from that Static X album, Shadow Zone. Oh man, just so many good memories. Just going through it. And I have to say, I was comparing this game to my nostalgia glasses of Need for Speed Underground.
Yeah.
Just, I remember putting that disc in the GameCube, firing up Lil Jon, the East Side Boys, dun, 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 Get Low, starting at the loading menu. Low. Yeah. That I was comparing this game to Underground so much.
Well, why don't we jump into this game then? Why don't you read the synopsis of the game first, and then we'll jump into that comparison.
Absolutely. Need for Speed 2015. Ready to own the streets? Get behind the wheel of iconic cars and floor it through Ventura Bay, a sprawling urban playground. Explore overlapping stories as you build your reputation and your dream car and become the ultimate racing icon.
I mean, it sounds sick from that three sentences. I would be excited for that. But comparison wise, how could you not compare it? Like, how could you not compare it to Need for Speed Underground? It literally felt like it was trying to be that, except it was. I don't know. I dislike this game so much.
Yes.
And I don't know. The whole time I'm like, did Need for Speed Underground suck, or is this just like, let's make Need for Speed Underground, but take out all of the fun? Like,
yo, okay. All right. Real talk. I was expecting to come into this. You'd be like, oh my God, it was a great experience. It was so immersive. there was so much. Like, I was like,
why would you expect that from me?
I don't know. I feel like you and I have like so many like conflicting opinions on video games that I was like ready to oh my God, yes, this is going to be great. This is going to be great. This game was not good. I was playing it on PC, just to let everyone know.
Which I thought that would be, because I'm playing it and I like, one of the first things I notice, this game looks so muddy. Like, the resolution is not very good, and when you're driving fast, everything is so blurry, and there was no enhancement even for like Xbox One X or anything, so it's still 30 frames per second. The whole time I'm thinking like, Shane's gonna have a completely different experience than I am, because he's gonna be playing it at 60 frames or higher, and it just feels so bad at 30 frames a second.
Oh, okay. So I do have to preface this: the game on PC, it is not a Game Pass game for me. It is a EA Play.
Right.
So yeah. I have to use the EA desktop beta app, which is a piece of fucking shit. Okay. like, when it first launched, getting it to connect to your Xbox app was like, all right, so if you want, there was a video that Microsoft put out, like, all right, so this is how you connect it. And it was the most convoluted. It felt like having to track down old floppy disks to patch a game. Like, hey, so Commander Keen 3 has a game ending bug, so if you write in a letter and get this floppy disk, you can patch it. It was like, it was so bungled to get them connected.
Well, and I remember you messaging me, because from the Game Pass app itself, it's like not obvious that you could play this. Is that correct?
It is not. So when you told me that this was the game we were playing, it was not on Xbox.
Yeah.
It was not on the Xbox app for PC. And I was like, I don't have this game. And you were sending me screenshots like, it's right here. And I'm like, I'm sending you screenshots saying, there's nothing here. Like, the only thing that I had available was like expansion packs for like the current one that was out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, wait, this is an Electronic Arts game. So I had to fire up the EA desktop to get EA access on PC. It was nightmarish. But I have to say, and this is a testament to the PC Master Race. Mm-hmm. This game looks tremendous. It is awesome. It is my only complaint is that you're only driving, and I guess this is kind of the whole like illegal underground street racing. Yeah. You're only at only night
driving at night in the rain.
Yeah, you're at night in the rain or like dawn.
Yeah.
And but I could I ran this at 2K, you know, 1440p. Mm-hmm. I was at 160 frames.
Oh God, plus. Really?
At like maxed out. I turned off motion blur, but this game looks really good. Reflections are good. Sound design is good. It is buttery smooth. But I,
which is like you saying that like, the whole time, I'm like, if this game didn't look and if it didn't look like such shit, and if it could have like just it, comparing it to something like a modern racing game like Forza Horizon 4 or something like that, like if it could just look like that, like maybe I would be having more fun. But there, you know, I just kept thinking like it looks terrible. So why would I choose this over like a newer, you know, and it looks terrible and feels generic. Like it doesn't feel like it's doing anything special. So why would I choose this bad looking generic racer over a better looking generic racer?
And what I thought was really
not that Forza Horizon generic. Forza Horizon is that was just like a modern racer comparison. But.
Yeah, no. It's I would say that Forza is the like the
pinnacle,
model. Not the pinnacle for like an arcade racer, but it's the what you want to model your game after.
Okay.
So much so that the pause menu in Need for Speed it is exactly the same as Forza Horizon. I was like, wait, am I?
I didn't even put those two together.
You
played Forza more recently than I did, though.
Yeah, the layout, you hit pause or you pull up the, like, there's little squares that have the different, like, menu items that you can go to, and it is laid out exactly like Forza Horizon, which has come out after this game. So, who did it first?
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's...
Interesting.
Because Forza Horizon definitely came out after this game. So, this is a game. Complaints.
The first Forza Horizon came out in 2012.
Okay, all right.
So I don't know if they had the same
menu.
In fact, Forza Horizon 2 was out before this game came out.
Okay, all right.
I don't know if those had the same UI, but
it felt like Forza. It felt like Horza Forza 4, which is the most recent one I was playing.
Yeah,
the menu seemed exactly the same. This game was on. I would like to see you play this on a PC with, 14 or 2K monitor or 4K mm-hmm. monitor at a good frame rate.
Mm-hmm.
Because it definitely looked really good. And this might just be a bug of not a bug, but a side effect of the Game Pass games and also the EA Access games. That when you are playing them on these subscriptions, the version of the game you get is automatically like the deluxe collector's edition. And I ran into this issue on Forza Horizon where you are automatically given like, oh, here's 12 extra cars.
Sure, yeah.
That you can, and I unlock the cars. And when you unlock the car, you get experience and reputation. And and when I was playing Forza, it basically... because I got so much experience, it pushed me through the four pre-seasons.
Oh, no way.
So I there was an hour, maybe, you know, a couple hours of gameplay that it just said, oh, you already are at like a million reputation because you unlocked all the bonus
cards.
So
it just put you past that?
Yeah, like put me. It was like I started in spring and then I was like, oh, I better check my inbox.
Did you still have the option to play those? That pre-season stuff?
There was stuff on the map that disappeared.
Oh wow.
So that was a bummer. Same
thing. Yeah.
And this game, Need for Speed, not to the extent of Forza, but you automatically had a bunch of parts that you could add to your car.
Oh, crazy. I didn't have any of that on the Xbox version.
Interesting. Like it was automatically like, oh, you got the pre-order bonus stuff for your starting car. And I felt my biggest complaint is that this game is too easy.
Yeah. I always hate the pre-order bonus stuff. I always hate that stuff anyway. Like whenever I get like, you know, you get like a card with like an extra costume and like a, like some sort of buff or some sort of stronger weapon, like in the sleeve of the game, I never redeem those codes because I just feel like it, like it's going to make a chunk easier that shouldn't be easier.
If it's cosmetic, I'll unlock
it. If it's cosmetic, I don't care enough to put in the code. But if it's if it actually gives you some sort of benefit, it just feels like it's cheapening the experience.
Yeah, I would agree on that. Actually, this is so scattershot because there's so many like complaints to have about this game. But to circle back to the, I remember watching the E3 press conference where they announced this.
Really?
And it, I only remember it because the song they used in it is a song, I believe it's called Aero Chord, Aero Chord, Need for Speed. The song is called Aero Chord by an electronic music producer called Surface.
Yeah.
And it is, I remember watching it and they were showing off the tech of like, oh, you can look in the car and they're, you know, when the car's in the garage and they're playing this song. And I was like, holy shit, the song just hits. Like, it's just, it hits heavy. So I forgot that was it when you eventually get to the garage where you can pick your first car.
Yeah.
And the tech that they have where the 3D in-game model of the car is sitting in a real life garage.
Oh yeah.
And the actors are walking around it.
So funny.
I thought that was cool. Funny? I thought that was like,
well, so I loved the plot of this game, which is, it, you know, generous, if you call it that, but
yeah.
The plot in this game, it's like told through this series of like full motion video live action cutscenes, and it's like from your perspective, so these other characters are like talking to you, it was like super cheesy and campy, and I was all for that. Like it was, I don't know, it was stupid, but I liked it.
The character Spike, everybody is like a huge like 100% like one trick pony personality.
Yes. Yeah.
Like Spike,
like you got the like gearhead and the like you know, it's, yeah, I don't know, yeah, what other car personalities
yeah,
are.
Yeah, there's, but like there's like the there's like the rich boy like racer douche, and then you have like the big tall like teddy bear like protector guy, and then you have the, whoa, look at the grease monkey mechanic, and oh wait, it's a girl, isn't that progressive?
Yes,
like,
yes.
And then you have like the pretty girl that's like, you know, super, you know, like, no, you can do it, come on, let's go race everyone. There was these four characters that were all like stereotypes. And all the cutscenes were ham-fisted, and it felt like something that if this was a horror movie, like Horror Movie Night, Matt Kelly would love these characters.
That's hilarious.
But the cutscenes are just like, it was super cliche. It felt like the scenes from Hackers and Hackers 2 where they're not doing anything and they're just hanging out. And it's like, whoa, this is a group of multicultural and multigendered friends. Oh, they're getting along. But wait, they're up to no good and wackiness. It was the cutscenes. And you can find all the cutscenes on YouTube. And
oh, yeah.
It's like an hour long and I've watched them. It's engrossing. It's engrossing.
And then that's weird because there's like real drivers like Ken Block and stuff show up.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, Ken Block is old. Like he's had a rough aging.
like he looked old in this.
Yeah. He looked old in that.
I mean, that was 6 years ago too.
Yeah.
Probably filmed 7 years ago.
Yeah. But the cutscenes were redeemed.
The cutscenes were the only part that I liked.
Yeah. They were the cutscenes and how the game looked. For me, it was redeeming. I was comparing this to Underground, and I have like a list of gripes, but I don't want to buffalo the conversation. I would love for you to talk a little bit more about what you like or don't like.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing that I did really truly enjoy, was the live action cutscenes. I thought you said it was cool. It was cool, but it also was super cheesy in that there's this like clearly rendered car in the garage or in the cutscene, and they're like reacting to it as though it's there.
And the thing that, and this might go back to you were playing it on 2015 tech.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But the model of the vehicle, it took me a second. I was like, yo, okay. they actually got a Subaru. Like
they shot this with every starter car.
Yeah. And then it took me a second. I was like, oh wait, that car is floating.
Oh, no way.
Floating.
Okay.
So it looked good.
Yeah. And then there's things just kind of started falling apart very early for me. Like the initial race, I did terribly and came in dead last, and the characters didn't react to it at all. And like, then like the live action scene that comes after that, like just played it off like I had won the race.
Yeah. Same here.
And I thought that was super lame that I don't know the controls yet. And I think something happened and I like pressed the pause button, but it didn't pause because it's also a persistent online game. And then I was like, oh shit. And then I unpaused it and that lost me a bunch of time. I did not like that this was a persistent online game because it doesn't really feel super multiplayer-y. And I get the ideas that like just other people are existing in the same world as you do, and you might come across them and you might choose to race and all that sort of stuff. But I just felt like whenever I did see someone, it was like they were just in the way. I don't know if you had the same thing.
I actually, now that you bring it up, I thought that was really cool. You would see, if you're doing a race, other people can be on the road, driving past your race and vice versa. And so there'd be plenty of times where I'm going from like, I just finished a race and I have to drive back down the mountain go into town. And there'd be someone doing a drift course up the hill with their own NPCs. And I thought that was kind of cool. Like,
I think it's cool in principle, but I think it was really annoying in that, I don't know if people are just dicks on Xbox, but in multiple races that I was in, it was like they knew I was in a race and then they literally were just seeking me out to crash into me.
Oh, I never had that. I had that
multiple times. And it was like, fucking, there's nothing you can do about it. Cause it's like, oh, can I just play this game offline so I don't have to worry about this? Nope. Like, you just have to deal with it. That's what happens in illegal street racing. Like, it bothered me. It really bothered me.
That's funny because I had a wonderful experience with the other players. Like I'd be doing a drift course and I looked on the mini map. I'm like, okay, there's a player coming down the hill the other side. Like, what are they going to do? And it was like three or four times I ran into this scenario, they would pull over or they'd get out of the way. And there was one guy where he would, when I was just free roaming, he like followed me around and it felt like playing Journey on PS4. Okay. He was like honking his horn and he's like, come on, let's race. And we'd start a race.
And you then didn't know finish. It was a real person until the end credits?
I mean, he had like a username, like, you know,
fucking, I'm just
like,
kidding.
Pussy Slapper 69 or something. Like,
surprised that wasn't one of the live action characters.
yeah. It was that was fun. The game world I think is too big, and the only fast travel feature that you have is you can fast travel back to your garage.
No, there's more than that.
Oh, what bullshit. No, there's no way. There's no way you can.
So when you, and it doesn't make sense and it's very confusing UI-wise, when you go to like highlight an event on the map, you can like highlight it and then you can like press like over and it'll go over and it'll say like fast track or something. And you can just fast travel right to the event.
That's bullshit. No way. No, no way. That's fucking horseshit. Cause it never,
it doesn't,
said that.
It did not say that. And it was something I figured out by accident, but it was in there.
Oh, that's okay. See, I might have given it more points then, because you'd be up in the mountains.
Oh, and then the next event would be on the other side of the freaking map.
And you're like, you have to drive a literal 5-10 minutes to get there. And that's frustrating.
I I had a couple of annoying technical things too. I mean, aside from the terrible graphics compared to what you played, it sounds like I'm playing this on a Series X, which has a very fast SSD, and the load times in this game were so bad and so frequent, even on that SSD. Like, I can't imagine what playing that on like an Xbox One speed hard drive would be like.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a long ass, like it's gotta be a minute or more loading screen to get to your garage at the start, which it forces you to anytime you start the game.
Yeah.
But then even if you're not staying in your garage, you don't want to look at your car. You just like hit B, which is like exit garage. Then it's another like 20 to 25 second loading time to get into the game itself.
Yeah.
And then anytime you start an event, it's got to like load for like 20 seconds or so. It just felt very, I've been playing, I guess, a lot of modern games lately, and it felt very dated from that aspect. Like because they're longer load times than anything I've experienced in so long, which really was surprising to me based on the speed of the SSD it was running on.
I agree. Did that
on PC too?
Yeah. The load times were a little annoying. And like the initial one, when you load into the game and then you click like, I'm going to play the game, and it loads you into a server.
Yeah.
That does take a while. And then all the other. Yeah, I agree. That was frustrating. And this might be the only time that I was really having fun was when I decided to, I'm going to buy another car with no parts and upgrades.
Yeah.
And then have to actually like struggle to get into first place.
Right,
and then
yeah.
You still ultimately like trash everybody. And I started with the Subaru FRS or BRZ. I can't see the Subaru and Scion both came out with the exact same car.
And really?
The FRS and the BRZ. I mean, basically the same car. And they worked together on it. And there was an agreement for like, for every one Subaru, whatever, Scion Toyota had to produce four of their car.
Okay.
So it's the FRS and the BRZ. I can't remember.
It's, looks like, yeah. Oh, you can't remember which one you did.
Well, no, I can't remember. It's either Subaru, yeah, FRS. It looks
like both are in the game.
Yeah. In which they're the same car.
Just badge, just different badge.
Yeah. And you know, cosmetics and whatnot, but yeah. The Subaru one is more sought after in real world collectors because there's three fourths less of them. Anyway, all right, we're getting sidetracked. But I bought I was just smoking, like getting up into eighth gear, like just dominating everything, and I could break the rear end out and do crazy drifts all around. Yeah. And I was just wiping the floor with people. And then I bought a Challenger, and I was like, all right, no, like this car is a big heavy American muscle car, and it is designed to go straight and fast. It's a drag car basically, and it is, you know, the acceleration sucks. The handling sucks.
Get extra money too when you started? I thought that the FRS looks like it's more expensive.
What?
It's like 27,000 or something.
No, there was three cars I could choose from at the beginning.
Oh, okay.
The FRS.
There was a Civic, I think, wasn't there? I think Civic, I chose a Civic.
And then I believe there might have been a BMW.
Okay.
Yeah, there was three cars to choose from, and I was like, oh, I guess I'll go with the Subaru. Yeah, it the only time I was really starting to have fun was when I had a car that was entry level and it was worse than the other ones, and I had to, yeah.
I did something similar, but I bought the 1996 Mazda Miata because I, in real life, have a Mazda Miata that I drive when it starts. And it was it made it quite challenging because those are very slow cars.
Yeah, you see that's funny because on Need for Speed Underground, the Miata was like the best car in the game.
Really,
if you tech it all the way out, that was like
I was playing it like stock basically.
Yeah, and then like the S2000. There's actually I was going through the car list. And the cars that you could choose from, just it felt like there wasn't a lot of variety. You know, you had like 10 different BMWs, you had like 10 different Lamborghinis. You had, you know, a couple of, you know, a couple of Subarus. You had one Challenger, and I guess this game did come out before like the Hellcat and the Demon. Those came out in 2018, which are like the super like top tier, you know, hypercar Challenger trims. But the car, like the car selection, just felt really like, well, I don't want to drive any of these. Like, I'll keep driving my Subaru and tech it up. And I have to give them props, is that you can go into the the handling and the tuning, and there's a master slider that if you put it all the way, you could put it all the way to the left and it's super drifty. Put it all the way to the right and it's super tight handling. But you can go in and pick like, all right, I want the handbrake to favor the rear end or favor the front end. You can adjust tire pressure. I do like the minutia of getting into that, and I could tweak the Subaru and the Challenger to the two ways I wanted to drive it. But that was probably the only redeeming quality. The biggest complaint, and again, I'm sorry if I'm buffaloing the conversation, I have a lot to bitch about this game, is in the old Need for Speed Underground, the upgrade parts would be like, all right, you get the first part, upgrade, and then you get the next part, upgrade, and you have to buy each and every part to upgrade. This one, you know, maybe it's my fault for not taking my time to read, but I wasted a lot of money buying.
Oh, you assumed that it was all linear and that the next part was the better part, but they're just parts with different stats in some cases. Yeah.
So I would be like, there's five. There's five. There's five clutches to buy. So I would I'll just build on top of it. When in reality, I only needed to buy the last one.
Yeah.
And then the tires, each stage of level 1, 2, 3, 4 of the tires, there's a grip version and a drift version.
And you bought them both.
I bought them both because I was like, level 4, might as well buy both of them. So it could have been a little bit more explicit.
That's fair. I feel like I did not have that problem, but I also, I read the pop-ups that pop up. Which was super annoying, actually. That brings me to, so for the first several races of the game, it's also giving you, little tutorials and stuff like that. But it's doing it, during races, and you cannot pause the game. And in some cases, it was, a huge-ass paragraph, and it's I'm supposed to race and read this at the same time? And also, I can't really see what's in front of me because this box is in front of me? I thought that was that just seemed very a very poor experience. How did they make it through testing?
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, and obviously it's temporary because the tutorials go away. But then I feel like I'm discouraged because I'm losing these races because I have to read the tutorials that pop up. And if I just skip the tutorials, then I won't know what they're saying. And I don't think there was any way to show the text again after you had been through it the first time.
No, there wasn't. One thing that it felt like when you were doing these missions, it felt a little confusing because you'd have the four main characters that would give you different quote unquote story missions.
Right.
And I felt like that was it. You're only doing this. And then I realized looking at the map, there's other this is a drift race, but it doesn't advance the story. You're just going to get money and reputation for it. And then I realized, there's a lot of stuff to do. I thought the game was really thin at first, but then there was a lot of stuff to do. I felt like there was, and I was a few hours. I played maybe 4 or 5 hours of this game, maybe six. And I thought the leftmost island area seemed the coolest. There was trees and there was some mansion neighborhoods.
Yeah.
But a lot of the game was in the downtown LA feeling area. Yeah. And it
all felt very samey.
Yes. Yes.
You couldn't, I don't know. There's games with big open worlds that have very distinct areas in that. If I saw a clip, you could tell generally where they were. But there was, like, because it was all the same, because it was also samey, and there's not really, there's not stuff to do, like, I don't know, like in Forza Horizon, like there's so much stuff to do just in the map itself that might not count as a race or whatnot. And this really didn't feel like it had any of it, except like there were certain areas where you could like drive up and it was like, you would like take a picture because it was by like a cool building or a cool piece of graffiti or something like that.
Which pissed me off because I would come across that and I had just like driven through a building and my car was all fucked up, and then it would take a screenshot of my like jacked up car looking over a gorge and like, we're gonna upload that to the NFS network. I'm like, no, yes. no. Yeah.
Also, if everyone is going to these like viewpoints, like why are people going and like looking at like thousands of the same picture but with like a slightly different car? It just doesn't sound like an interesting thing to do.
And there was, you could find like hidden parts, that would, but none of the parts, it was like, oh, you got a special clutch for a Volvo. And then it's like, all right. Like,
I will never drive that car. So.
I will never, yeah. And there's like, collect all 24 parts. And it's like, that's stupid. And this is not a recommend. This is a skip. the one thing that I thought was cool was this southernmost island area was called Southport, and that is, and I'm 99% sure that is the town in Need for Speed Most Wanted, which is I think probably my favorite Need for Speed game, which that game still holds up to this day because it came out in 2005-ish, and you can run it. Like the models and everything like scale up to high def.
Yeah.
And
okay.
It has an uncapped engine and you can make that game look really good. And it was really, really fun. And so Southport, there's a Southport area in this game, which was the whole game or the other one. I thought that was a cool little nod. And then I was like, wait, why am I not playing that game? And oh, here's another thing. Biggest gripe.
I also haven't said my biggest gripe yet. So tell me yours.
Biggest gripe, the fucking music.
Okay.
The biggest gripe was the music, because in the other one you had I got it right here. The first one in Need for Speed Underground, you had some amazing artists. Okay. So you had rap, hip hop, EDM, drum and bass. You had Nate Dogg, Lil Jon and the East Side Boys, Static X, Rob Zombie, Lost Prophets, Crystal Method. Like, you had all these great artists, and you could pause the game, which, you know, crazy concept. You could pause a game, but this game is persistent online. So you'd hit pause and your car would just coast.
that
pissed me off because I wanted to, you know, tweak with the controls and stuff, but you could go in and set your playlists, and in this game I could not figure out how to set my playlist, and I could not pick a song. So all of a sudden I'd be listening to some like drum and bass, and then Kings of Leon would come on. I'm like, what the fuck. And I just, comparing it back to Underground, I would put on Static X and just go in and cruise and destroy. And that was my biggest gripe. The music sucked. There was no personality. And the song that was in the trailer wasn't in the game. So biggest gripe, music sucked. There you go. What's yours?
My biggest gripe was way more annoying than that. And it was that, so every single event, at least it felt like every single event, I'm not sure if that's correct or not, but you can only start the event when you're facing a specific direction.
Oh,
and, but any 100% of the events that you start, the game has to pause and load. And then it's like, usually like a running start. Like, you're already like, for some, you know, how, first of all, how is it a race when everyone else is way ahead of me already at the start?
They already did the qualifying race and had a higher pole position. You were just late to the qualifying
and late for the race itself, and so I had to fast forward me to when I'm already driving, like, you know, like weird stuff like that. But why do I have to be facing a specific direction? Like, I need to turn my car around so that I can press a button to go to a loading screen.
That's
preposterous.
Absolutely, I agree with it. The other thing that with that is that you have to point in the right direction. But I'm of the camp of, oh, let's just invite everybody in the server to race.
Oh, I never did that once.
Oh, I did it for like 3 or 4 races, but it would make you sit. It's like, all right, sit in this circle, and you have every player has 30 seconds to either accept or decline joining your race.
Oh, really?
And even if everyone had accepted or everyone had rejected or all the players had been asked and they'd put a decision in, you still had to wait the entire 30 seconds. And it was an excruciating 30 seconds.
Oh, geez.
It sucked. Don't game.
Don't.
This is going to be a game pass for sure.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I don't really feel like I really have that anything else to say about this game. You said you had a long list of complaints, and I would love to hear more if you have them. But that was not a good game for me.
There was this other character that showed up. Oh, the phone calls.
Oh, the phone calls.
Everybody would fucking call you, and it was just
who called. That was the most unrealistic part. Was people like phoning you on the phone?
I mean, like, oh, I did think it was funny. Is that when was the last time? I don't know what set. The other day, I was on my phone and it rung, and I was like, wait, I have a ringtone?
Yeah, right.
And when was the last time you heard your ringtone?
Oh, I could not tell you. It's been several phones ago.
Yeah, you always put it on vibrate, and yeah. I noticed that in this game is that people were calling people all the time, but it was always just zzz, zzz, like no ringtones.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, okay.
So that was realistic.
That was realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah, but everybody would call you, and the voice acting, like, there was one girl. She was like the gearhead, and she had like the same basic like phone call where it's like, oh my god, I'm going crazy stuck in here. Let's let's just get out and do something. You have to be there. Like, I'm going wild. Let's go race. And it felt weird that this is supposed to be a realistic like underground gaming or racing league, and you know, there's just people hanging out like waiting for a drag race or a drift race or anything. Like,
yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm going crazy. Let's get out there. Let's go do. It's like, really? I feel like illegal street racing is a little bit, you know, shockingly, it's a little bit more organized and put together than let's just go out there. Speaking of that, I did like the actual drag racing game type. Where did you do any of those?
A couple.
I thought that was cool. Where you had to like warm up your tires. And if you like screwed that up and didn't like utilize your entire time to warm up your tires, then you'd have a poor start. You'd have to keep the RPMs in a certain window, and you'd have to shift properly. That reminded me of Need for Speed Underground, which like the drag racing was one of my favorite parts. But there was a character that showed up that I can't tell if she like did a radio show or did like a reality show, but it was like you were being challenged to like go up this list of racers.
And oh,
like,
yeah, yeah.
And she was annoying, and they would have like, all right, and we got this real life pro racer in the studio right now. And it would be obviously recorded on a different day in a different studio, like soundbite. And it's like, what do you think of the racers? He's like, these guys suck. It's like, wow, that is a response. Let's get back to the action. Then there was the Outlaws. Did you run into the Outlaws at all?
No, I don't think so.
If there are police in this game that can chase you, and
I had police for sure.
Yeah, and I can't remember what happened. But the police were chasing me for longer than normal, because typically you could easily just drive away and like go hide somewhere and like turn off your car and the cops wouldn't find you. But I got a text message from someone called an outlaw, And he's like, hey, I saw you get away from the police. Like, you can join us. And they gave you challenges like, all right, rack up a certain fine.
Oh, I did get that. And I didn't do any of this stuff.
They got that. And when you did more and more, you're like star, your heat rating would go up. Cause initially you would get like two, like basically it was like the star rating from Grand Theft Auto. You could get a maximum of 2 stars, but the more outlaw missions that you did, the crazier the police pursuit would get, to the point where they'd have like permanent roadblocks. You could get up to like 4 or 5 like ratings. That was kind of cool, but the every person that called you would leave a message or like a text message in your phone, and they would all have a like a profile picture in your contacts list. And the outlaws was just like a creepy like pedo stash and like some teeth. It was just a dude smiling, and that just grossed me out. Oh, another complaint. You can read every single text message and listen to every single voicemail that they leave you, and there's still a like you have like there's still a notification dot that says, "Hey, you have unread messages."
Yeah,
completely immersion breaking Xbox Game Pass on this.
Yeah, I mean, if it wasn't obvious enough, we both dislike this game immensely, it sounds like.
I would say go on YouTube, watch the hour-long live-action cutscenes, enjoy.
How does something like that not kill the series?
I mean, it's EA. They got money. They got to keep their brand going. Like, I mean, they've done worse. They've done worse, and they brought it back.
Yeah. And it also makes me wonder, like, aside from remasters, which I know there's been a couple of Need for Speed remasters in the past few years, have there been good Need for Speed games since 2015?
I don't know if I haven't played any of them.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
Me neither. And that this game makes me not want to.
Yeah. It's not good. But it looked pretty. It looked pretty, and it ran at 160 FPS.
Ah, you fucking lucky guy.
Hey, man, like,
got a nice 30 frames per second on my HDMI 2.1 TV. Really took advantage of it. Yeah, helpful. I mean, the last game was good. The game before that was bad. So hopefully this next one is better as well. Do you have anything else to say, or can I go ahead and draw the next games?
Let's just draw it.
Okay, here we go. Oh. Okay.
That genuine
are you gonna be all right?
Oh man, I had more fun with that flub than I did the entire 6 hours I played Need for Speed.
Man, it's like you're not even lying. That's the worst part. Okay, next episode, so you're gonna choose between something called Bug Fables: The Everlasting Sapling, which is words that I've never heard in my life, and MLB The Show 21.
Oh, dude, MLB The Show 21.
Yeah,
do that. I want to hear you play like a sports simulator.
Is it a simulator?
Yes.
I mean, I played a simulator on the second episode, and it was MotoGP, like 17 or something,
like,
and
it was a sports simulator. Okay,
is motorcycle racing not a sport?
I mean, it's a motorsport.
Is sport in the word motorsport?
I just want to see and hear you play a like baseball game. Okay, all right.
Okay,
a ball sport.
I bought a baseball game once. What was it called? I bought. It was like an Xbox One baseball game.
Yeah,
and it was like kind of cartoony. Super Mega Baseball. It was really fun. It was really good. There was no. This is MLB The Show 21. I think is the first like MLB game on Xbox, like in generations.
What do you call it? MLB The Show being on Xbox. It used to be a PlayStation exclusive. And also,
because they had the MLB license, so there was no other. There was no other MLB games though either.
I thought 2K also had a license.
I mean, you might be making me seem really wrong.
I for some reason, I think the show and then like MLB, like 2K21, there was two different MLBs. There
was, so 2K13 was the last 2K MLB game.
Oh,
so okay. Long time ago, almost 10 years.
Well, this game, I actually have a PS4 copy of the show, only because Padres are on the cover and Tatis is just killing it.
Are you a baseball guy? Are you a baseball fan? It is America's pastime, I hear.
I am a Padres fan. Okay. So he is destroying.
Like, for a second, it sounded like you said Padres sing fan, and I was like, okay, but how do you feel about baseball?
No, I'm from San Diego.
Now this is Padracing.
I'm from San Diego.
Oh yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah, and I've seen Padres games in life. And Tatis is like, he's the best player in the league. He's just destroying.
Yeah.
And it's,
what team would you recommend I play as? The only teams I could tell you are the Toronto Maple Leafs, because I think that's the only team in Canada, and the Seattle Mariners, because I'm close to Seattle. And then there's the team that just got renamed, which I think was a baseball team, because they decided to stop being so racist.
The Braves are now the Guardians.
Yeah.
Which like, that is a conversation for a different podcast, but they're like, you know, you have the Chiefs and the Redskins. Those are all like, you know, like their mascots are pretty, you know, I would say, and from people that I've asked the question of that heritage, are pretty non, you know, at face value, just a human drawing of a Native American warlord.
Right.
Pretty inoffensive. The Atlanta Braves was like,
it's the Cleveland Indians that got renamed, not the Braves.
Okay. All right. Well, the Braves are still like whatever. Okay. Maybe I'm getting confused, but the Braves, the Indians versus Braves. The Atlanta Braves and Cleveland Indians, the Atlanta Braves, their like mascot, is, what is his name? It's like Chief Nakahoma. And, fuck it, whatever. Dude, one of them is literally just like a red faced cartoon Indian, and it's really, really offensive. And I was like, okay, yeah, let's rename, you know, let's get rid of the Cleveland Indians mascot. This is totally derailed. Yeah, that's that's the guy. Yeah, that's the one where it's just like that one's super racist. That's the one. Yeah. Yeah. That guy is Chief. Oh no, his name is Chief Wahoo.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah, I'm fully on board with getting rid of that one, because that one's a little
So do you think MLB 21 is updated, or is it based like, would they update something like that, or would it just be like, you got to buy 22 if you want the roster updates?
That is a good question, because I've never I think the last like baseball game I played was like Mike Piazza on the Nintendo 64.
Lee Carvallo's putting challenge.
That's a Simpsons reference.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's the hottest game of this Christmas season.
I don't like the Simpsons. Don't talk to me or my son again. So if you had to choose between the Maple Leafs and the Mariners, choose the
I mean, you can suggest a different team as well. Those are just the ones I know.
Padres, dude. San Diego Padres, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've been in their stadium a few times.
Yeah, you have. You ran from zombies in their stadium.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And we saw, what's that director hit on a woman that was like half his age?
All of them?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Listen to Geekscape Games, because I get directors and I get people confused all the time.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to this. I don't know a thing about baseball, so I hope that doesn't hinder my experience. I hope there's an arcade mode. But we're gonna find out what happens. It's a different one. I'm surprised you didn't go for Bug Fables, the Everlasting Sapling, because that sounds like it's for 2-year-olds.
Well, I mean, Bug Fables, the Everlasting. I gotta see what this album this box art looks like. Oh, that looks kind of cute. See, this looks like a game that might be like, okay, we'll get some fun out of this. But I think MLB The Show, a simulator baseball game, I would love to hear your input, because I guarantee you, you've played a Bug Fables like analog before in the last 10 years. You haven't you haven't played a baseball simulator last 2 decades.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. Aggressive, aggressive wheel spinning and picking.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for joining me again, Shane. I always like talking to you, and I always appreciate
you. Thank you for having me. I wish I was chosen for Titanfall or MLB The Show. Call me when there's another. No, I'm kidding. This is I really went into Need for Speed with like, okay, this is gonna be dope, and then like was severely let down. So
it was not good.
Yeah, but thank you for having me. It's great.
Thank you so much. If you enjoyed our voices, you can hear us every other week on the Geekscape Games podcast. If you have enjoyed the show, anything you can do to get us out there, share it with a single friend or more, whatever. Throw up a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And yeah, we'll be back in 1 month. We're going to be talking about MLB The Show 21.
Yes.
And until then, thanks again, Shane.
Yep. Spread game passengers like COVID. Tell your friends.
That Delta, though.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network. You're listening to the Geekscape Network.